This is the Sun Radio Regional Report. I'm Kevin Connor. We touch on topics of interest and importance to people here in Central Texas. And recently, I looked at ATX floods. Remember, we had the threat of very severe rain and potential flooding. And I hadn't seen the ATX flood map online in a while, so I checked that out. And it's simply atxfloods.com. And it's now been expanded to serve the whole region. And I wanted to find out a little bit about what's behind it, how it developed, and what else is going on with the people who are behind that map. And so today we have Scott Prinsen, who is the program manager for the City of Austin's Flood Early Warning Division, to lay it all out for us.
Yeah, so basically, we're the ones that are monitoring rainfall. We're monitoring our creeks, creek levels, keeping an eye on the weather, closing roads around the Austin area. If you've been down, let's say, Spicewood Springs Road, for example, you'll probably see flashing lights and gate arms, and we will close those. There's 7 low water crossings along that road. And so we're responsible for roads like that around the Austin area. So it's a lot to keep up. It's a big job. You know, we're in Flash Flood Alley. We are in a place where we have a beautiful landscape with the rolling hills, but we're also at the same time in a place where we have very thin soils that sit on top of bedrock. And with those hills and our position next to the Gulf of Mexico and a big source of moisture coming up from that body of water and storm systems that roll through here, all that combination spells rapid runoff, high rainfall rates, and we can see creeks and streams around here go from dry to flooded in minutes sometimes. Mm-hmm. So the threat is there, and that's the thing that we are keeping an eye on 24/7.
And you have one of the cooler maps out there online to check, atxfloods.com. And that seems to be the go-to source of information for a lot of people about road conditions. Now, that's not just Austin, right? You guys cover a wide range of Central Texas.
Yeah, that's true. atxfloods.com came into existence about 10 years ago. At that time, we basically just made the website cover just the city of Austin. Well, we got a lot of interest from our communities outside of Austin about joining in on that site. So over the years, we have expanded it. And now we have all kinds of participation from counties from the Hill Country all the way down to LaGrange. So all of Central Texas is pretty much covered under that umbrella of ATX floods now with road closures. So we have all kinds of emergency management partners in our surrounding, in our surrounding jurisdictions around Central Texas that participate in that now. So when you look at the map, you're seeing contributions about road closure information from all over the area.
And I thought about that. You have to have an official word. You can't just have a guy saying, hey, my road's flooded, and put the red dot on there. By the way, if you haven't checked out this map, it's pretty quiet when there's not a rainy situation. But if there is flooding, they put red dots on the map on the different roads that are closed. And then there's more information when you click on that dot. It's kind of cool. But as you said, it's grown to a regional program now. Is there anybody who doesn't participate?
No, just about everyone in our jurisdiction, in our Central Texas area, I should say, does participate in that now. So it's counties, it's cities, Round Rock, for example, Georgetown, then Williamson County and the unincorporated areas, for example, is a good example of partnerships that we have all around. So it's covered pretty well.
Yeah. This is Scott Prinsen. He's the program manager for Austin's Flood Early Warning Division. You talked about Flash Flood Alley. Is that increasing? Is the frequency and severity of our flash floods increasing?
Well, with the onset of climate change, we're going to be watching for this very carefully. You know, we always have, it doesn't matter what time of the year, we are always going to be susceptible to flash flooding. What we're going to be watching for as we move forward is the frequency of these events and the intensity of these events. And I can tell you lately, we've had some long periods of drought that have been busted by some pretty big rains that have caused some really amazing amounts of rain in short periods of time. And I'm recalling back to August last year, mm-hmm. when we had that one day around August 22nd where we just got an amazing amount of rain in 1 hour and broke a rainfall record. So those are the kinds of things we're starting to see stacking up now across the area. So I'm looking at it as something that moving forward, watching for the extremes. It seems like we're seeing more extremes, more longer, drier periods broken by big bursts of rain or unusual weather, and not just flooding, but all kinds of things, these winter storms we've been having lately. So we're watching for that carefully. We're planning for that as well. Moving equipment out of floodplains, really amping up the message to the public about these are things we really have to pay attention to. We have to pay attention to them anyway. I mean, we are like, it's like earthquakes to California. It's the flooding is Central Texas. Natural disaster, a number one issue that we have to watch. And we've got so many people moving here that may not realize that this is part of life here. It is a fact of life that we're going to have flooding in Central Texas, and we have to be prepared for those kinds of things.
I was just down at Onion Creek, down at the Greenbelt down there the other day with a friend, and looking at the map of their park, and one part of it says FEMA buyout zone. The flooding got so bad down there around Onion Creek that they just basically had to take a whole neighborhood out, and it has since returned to parkland. Are there other places around that are in danger of that same kind of thing having to happen?
So we're watching a few areas, and there's already been some projects around Austin, and I'm thinking about down there at off of Westgate and Stastny. There's a neighborhood down in that area off of Westgate that had similar buyouts, and those homes were built way back in the 60s and 70s, and we didn't have the kinds of regulations about building in floodplains. And that was an example of another neighborhood like Onion Creek that had a buyout program. And that particular area was butted up along Williamson Creek at the convergence of Cherry Creek, and it had a real problem with flooding. Mm-hmm. And those homes got bought out, and then those homes were demolished, and then it was turned into a natural area and a garden area for the neighborhood. And so there's other little pockets here and there around Austin that we're still working on flood mitigation measures. But really, since in more recent times, the regulations are much higher now, so developers aren't building in those flood-prone areas like they were here in the city of Austin in the past.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Spicewood Springs Road, prone to flooding at several low water crossing areas, but there's a lot of nice houses up there. I don't imagine the people that live up there, they've learned to live with the flooding situation with their road, but they're not going to move.
Yeah, some of those folks that live on Spicewood Springs have been there for a very long time.
Yeah.
Now, most of the subdivisions are up and above Bull Creek, which it runs underneath Spicewood Springs Road. So there are a few locations along Spicewood Springs. It's a pretty drive. It's almost like a hill country road in an urban area.
Yeah.
And there are some homes that are peppered through there, but most of those are, and a lot of them are living above the floodplains there. The problem with Spicewood Springs, more than anything else, really, no matter how much rain we get, is the fact that Bull Creek winds underneath the link of Spicewood Springs Road seven times.
Yeah.
So you have seven low water crossings there. And so we have a gate arm on the end where you approach from 360, and on the opposite end at Old Land Passes Trail, there's another gate arm there. So we have cameras that you can actually see on ATX floods that look a couple of those crossings. And then we all have all kinds of monitoring devices along those low water crossings that let us know when the water's coming up, so we can close the road if we need to. Now, the challenge over there is that, again, I mentioned that's in an urban area. People are used to taking that road. When those gate arms go down, don't go around those gate arms or the barricades. We always say, turn around, don't drown. I know it's inconvenient when we have to put those down and you got to go another way, but you know, we have an issue with people driving through those crossings. You're risking your life by driving around those barricades and going around through those low water crossings. It doesn't take much water to sweep somebody off their feet. You know, we talk about 6 inches or 12 inches. What are you going to do? Get out of your car and measure to see if it's okay? Just don't do it. Just turn around. Don't drown. And the other thing too, is if you try to do something like that, you're taking not only your own life is in jeopardy, the passengers in your car. If we got to send out emergency crews to rescue you, you're putting their lives in danger. It's illegal to go around those barricades. It's a misdemeanor. You could face a fine. And the other thing too is that if we've got to send a crew out there, first responders, for example, the AFD has to go out there to rescue, you're taking them away from a potential other issue that they may be a larger issue, more important issue that they may have to deal with in terms of flooding. So you're taxing that resource. And why would you want to drive your car through water like that anyway? Water damage to your car. Cars are expensive these days. I mean, flood insurance is expensive. You know, why would you want to damage your car by driving through something like that anyway? Just turn around, don't drown.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's the simplest thing. And yet some people, I guess they feel like their time is more important than all of the things you just described, putting other people's lives in danger. Just like, well, I know what I'm doing. I'm just going to go.
Yeah. And we're all in a hurry. I get it. We're trying to get from point A to point B as fast as possible. And most of the time we can do that around here. Well, I can't speak to the traffic, but you know, we're all in a hurry to go somewhere. We've got places to go. We got people to see. But if you go to atxfloods.com and say you're trying to plan a route out, you know, the weather's going to be bad. All those dots on that map are a known road that floods or a low water crossing that floods. And if you your route takes you through there and you see those dots on your route and you know the rain's coming, maybe consider an alternate route. I mean, I know it's going to take a couple minutes out of your, you know, normal time to drive it, but it's just not worth the risk. If you just plan ahead, you'll be just fine.
Talking with Scott Prinsen, Program Manager, Austin's Flood Early Warning Division. And ATX Floods, check that out the next time we have a big rain. And I read somewhere that really the efforts of your department go all the way back to the notorious Memorial Day flood of 1981. And that's when people really started working on flood issues. Is that correct?
That is correct. In fact, that's when our Flood Early Warning Division was actually born out of the 1981 Memorial Day flood. Mm. Right after that council action right away developed that program. And since then, we've been building it up, adding all kinds of rain gauges and equipment and barricades, improving communication to the public. All kinds of things have been going on ever since that flood to really get the word out about being aware of flooding.
Yeah. For those people who weren't here, and I missed it by just a couple of months, I got here in August of that year. It was Memorial Day weekend of 1981, and people were obviously still talking about it in August. But the flooding concentrated on Shoal Creek. And back in the day, right around 5th and Lamar, where the big Whole Foods mothership is, that was all car dealerships there along 5th Street. And hundreds and hundreds of these cars were washed down into what was then Town Lake, now Lady Bird Lake. And the one and only Whole Foods, the original, there at about 9th and 10th and Lamar, that was flooded out, as were a bunch of stores in that area. They called it Whole Floods for a while. But that was the most severe one. But we've had, it seems like almost maybe once a year, something really, really extreme that puts lives in danger and destroys property. I had a question, though, about development. You said developers don't put buildings anymore in flood-prone areas. They're not allowed to. But just the density of development, does that have any kind of an effect on flooding in urban areas now, just the fact that there's just so many more buildings?
Well, you know, there's a lot of building regulations where if you are going to build close to a floodplain, you have to meet certain criteria. Uh-huh. But there's no doubt about it that when you're putting concrete on top of soil and it's not, that rainfall is not absorbing into the soil like it naturally would, you know, you're relying on storm drains, and then you're relying on all kinds of other methods that to channel water away from certain areas. So there's no doubt that urbanization does increase the amount of runoff that you're going to see into your creeks and streams. But Austin has actually been pretty forward thinking in a lot of this and how to mitigate, how to really limit as best you can, given the development, which we know has been coming and has already underway, and as it has been for decades here, to try to really limit the impact of runoff. So you see things like detention ponds around town or in neighborhoods, things of that nature, that can really help hold back that water and let it absorb into the soil and give it a chance before it goes rushing right off into a lot of our creeks and streams. So mm-hmm. Little projects like that can go a long way. Building rain gardens, for example, anything you can do even on a home, on your home level, on your property, to try to hold back that water so it can at least get a chance to get into the soil before it runs right down the street into the storm drain and straight into the nearby creek.
I haven't heard the phrase rain garden before. What's that?
So there's a program that started a while back through Watershed Protection Department here in the city that encourages residents to basically create a rain garden, which is kind of a, you're digging down into the soil a little bit. You're kind of creating a low area in your yard, and then you're filling that with native plants. So most of the time when you see something like that, you know, it's probably going to be dry. So you got your plants growing and whatever, but then it's also okay for those plants to be sitting in a puddle of water for a while. And the idea is that rain garden catches that rainfall, catches the runoff from your yard into that little kind of like a holding tank, if you want to think of it that way. Mm-hmm. And then it also, when it's not raining and it's dry, it just kind of provides for kind of a, you know, a nice landscape in your yard.
Interesting. Interesting. The whole thing I find fascinating, the map itself, and people should refer to that next time we have flooding conditions, atxfloods.com. And again, it covers a wide swath of Central Texas. Is that a fairly common thing? Is there one like that in, say, Houston?
There is a, it's not a road closure map in Houston, but it is a, they do have a pretty dense rain gauge network, so you can see where the rain has been falling. Now, in Houston, it's a different story over there. They don't have the hills. They don't have the rock, the bedrock underlying thin soils there. It's all clay and it's flat. So their flooding is different. Their flooding sticks around forever and it spreads out all over the place. Whereas here it's in and out real quickly. Mm-hmm. San Antonio, Bexar County, for example, they do have a similar road closure. I think it's called bearfloods.com, if I'm not mistaken, similar to what we have to atxfloods.com. And I know that just talking to colleagues of mine around the country that they're all trying to develop some similar type of ATX flood style website for their areas as well.
So ours was the first.
It was, I believe it was one of the first. Yes.
Very cool. Know what else is cool? The LCRA Hydromet map, which shows where all the rain is falling across the region and then where it's going on the rivers and creeks that feed into the Colorado. That's a cool one.
That is, and I know that the LCRA has over 200 rain and stream gauges on that map, and we actually partner with them to put our rain gauge data on that same map. So when you're looking at Austin and Travis County, nearly all of those rain gauges are actually ours from the flood early warning system. And I believe you can, in the left navigation column, you can toggle down and you can see, you'll see city of Austin gauges only if you just want to see the city of Austin gauges. Mm. So that's where you're seeing our, I believe there's at least over 60 of our rain gauges that are on that map. So we are a participant in that Hydromet website by the LCRA.
Again, this is Scott Princeton, Program Manager for Austin's Flood Early Warning Division. And I hope our upcoming Memorial Day weekend is drama free as far as your department and flooding and everything.
We all are, but we have to be vigilant. We know that we can have flooding any time of the year, but we also know that this time of the year, as well as in the fall, those are our really peak times typically to see heavy rain and flash flooding. So we'll be watching very carefully as we move closer to Memorial Day and through June as well.
All right. Hey, Scott, pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And remember, turn around, don't drown. Not just a catchy phrase, but words to just keep living by. Thank you to Scott Princeton. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Sun Radio Regional Report. I'm Kevin Connor. Your comments on today's program or suggestions for topics you would like to hear addressed in future episodes, always welcome. Studio@sunradio.com.